All right, folks, welcome. This is episode 31. We are the Off Center Archers, and I'm Anthony.
This is Stephanie and Harley.
And yeah, our daughter's going to be in the background squeaking if you hear her. So she's deciding the morning nap this morning is not going to happen.
She's our guest.
Yes.
On the show.
So this is going to be pretty much part two, rundown of more of the ATA stuff, plus a whole bunch of other stuff.
I don't think it's really going to be parts. I mean, it really is like a part one, part two. But I think we'll probably just be mentioning new scattered throughout the episodes.
All right, good. You wanted to start off with that other site since you mentioned it in the last episode.
Yeah. So the last episode, we were talking about all of the new sites that came out with the rangefinders on them. And there was that third site that I could not for the life of me remember who made it or what the name of it was. So I found everything out. I think we must have watched bowhunting.com's YouTube video 100 times to try and like,
yeah, well, actually, we found it in the one that I said that was 45 minutes long, and you were like, oh my God, there it is.
Yeah. So I had to pause it, and then luckily they had like a little sheet of what vendor's supposed to go wear on the table still. So that's the only...
Well, yeah, then you had to pause it because that was their live stream, and like we said in the other thing, every time you're in a convention center, the live feeds are kind of fuzzy because you're trying to broadcast from inside of a steel building.
Yeah.
And you were just like, what the hell does that say? And I'm...
So they're called Advanced Archery Incorporated. I was going to leave it out, but you know, Advanced Archery
Inc.
And they make a site called the Hawkeye, and it's just like the other ones that came out where it has a rangefinder in it and it has all the nifty features. You can adjust the range on each sight pin and blah, blah, blah. Basically everything that the other ones could do. The one big difference is that...
it's sheer size.
It looks like it's a...
someone strapped a fucking Halo XR7 right to it, it looks like.
Yeah, this thing...
looks like there's a full-size rangefinder on it.
You have to go look at this thing. You have to check it out. It's... if you go on advarchery.com. It'll pop up on their main page, the Hawkeye, because that's like their featured product. And the funny part is that they're listing it as the world's first full auto sight.
Okay.
And the first like sight with a rangefinder.
Well, they may have, you never know how long ago they came up with the concept. So they may have technically had the site prepped for 2 years, who knows, and then Garmin and IQ and everybody comes out with theirs this year.
It looks like it. It looks like they made it. Remember cell phones back in the 80s when you were carrying around this brick and people were like, whoa, this is awesome. And then obviously now, well, we're getting bigger, but the phones got smaller as the time went on.
Right.
This looks like the 80s phone, and then the Garmin is like the new
smartphone.
Yeah, this is the new smartphone.
So that site looks like our old Nextel Y1000s and the Garmin's our brand new S8s.
I mean, this thing is a brick. I mean, if you miss your target, whatever you're shooting at, you probably take the sight off and just throw it at it, and you'll probably just knock it out. I mean, we haven't really picked it up yet, so I mean, it could be looks deceiving, but even still, even if it weighs... like, they have this material that they made it out of that makes it, like, super, super light.
Right.
It's huge. It's just very bulky looking. You really, really got to go see this. It's advarchery.com, and I think it's...
three, it is by far the largest. That's for sure.
I think this is the largest site, period, that I've come across, personally.
Probably, yeah, probably. It looks like, it does look like a big box. It is quite intimidating when you look at it.
Looks like as you're hunting... on the little the view screen that they have above where your pins are,
right?
You can look at your settings, and then next to it, you can have a little live stream of an NFL football game going on, so you can watch football as you
want. Nice. Jesus.
I had to mention it. It took me so long to find these guys. And I finally found it. And you know what the funny part is that when they were doing that live stream, they mentioned that they were going to try to get those guys to do how they do a one-on-one interview with the vendors about new products coming out. They never, I looked through all their stuff, and unless I happen to miss it.
There's no video from anybody with them that I've seen. And I've gone through now Alpha Bow Hunting, bowhunting.com.
With Advanced Archery.
Yeah. Lancaster. Nobody has, I haven't seen any interviews with them at all.
Yeah, so I wonder if A, they just weren't there, or B, they released this product thinking it was like, oh, this is going to be great, but then caught wind that two other ones were going to be released at the ATA show that were built a lot better visually. And we're like, we're just not going to interview.
Well, you never know. I mean, I can do some more research and find out if there's anything about it that's available.
I specifically looked.
Mm-hmm.
And because this became like a little project.
Yeah,
and,
it did. You were kind of obsessed with it after the last podcast you were.
And I honestly could not find anything about them at all. I mean, even finding the fact that their name, the only reason I saw their name at the table was because when they list the piece of paper that lists, okay, your vendor X or Y or Z, you're going to be at this slot. So they put the papers labeling who has what spot.
Right.
That was left on the table.
Yeah. Well, that was at every station.
Yeah. But I'm saying they didn't, all the other vendors had like their logo or a sign. Oh, yeah.
Theirs literally, it didn't even look like there was a logo on the sheet. It literally like just said their name.
It just said, well, no, on that sheet, but on the Hawkeye, it didn't even have their actual company on it. It just said Hawkeye.
Yeah, exactly.
On the brochure. Like, it had a brochure, but it didn't say the company's name, which was kind of weird.
Yep.
So I don't know if they were kind of like, I'm just going to not go to this. Because this didn't come out the way we thought.
Hey, well, it happens.
Yeah.
And a little bit better marketing, I guess. All right, so some other products. That was 7 minutes.
Are you timing me?
No, I just had to look down at the dial. The Hunter Safety System vest that you absolutely liked.
Sorry. I apologize because I coughed again.
The Hunter Safety System. You were like this thing is awesome.
You're eyeballing me like, you know, you're coughing again. Jesus.
Nothing to do with you coughing.
Yeah, so there was another really cool product. We don't talk about tree stand, like companies that make safety products for tree stand, like tree stands in general, that whole area of topics, I should say, that whole blanket of stuff. So we were watching all the videos, and there was, it's by a company called Hunter Safety Systems.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess in a couple of years, the guy who was explaining that works for the company that was doing the interview, he mentioned that in a couple of years, they haven't really put out new products. They've kind of stuck with their line that they've had because it's been working. People like it. Well, this, for the 2018, they just released it's a vest. It's one of their safety vests that hook you to the tree stand. So you're sitting in a tree stand.
In case something goes wrong.
Yeah, so it has, like, in the vest, it has that clip that it goes on you, and then it clips to the
your
harness.
Drop line, yep.
But what was really cool about it is that all of the nifty little spots and hideaways they put in this vest is really cool. Like, they put, because of all of the brick smartphones that are out right now, up in your, let me think of.
It was
up
on
in
the
your
chat.
Left.
One side's a pocket for the phone, and then the other side is another pocket.
So it fits perfectly your phone because, I mean, honestly, now, who doesn't say, like, if you have a smartphone, no one says, oh, I'm never on it. You're lying. You're either lying to yourself or lying to everyone else.
Mm-hmm.
So, especially when you're waiting around in the middle of nowhere.
Sitting in a tree stand waiting for whitetails to come out.
Yeah. So, they have a little pocket there, but the cool thing is that if you run out of your battery life, which...
Or if it's getting low,
you know, whether... Or you mentioned the flashlights, the ones that actually... you can charge.
Yes. Yeah.
They have in one of the other pockets. It's a built-in. It's a spot that you could put a battery pack.
Yes.
And hook the battery pack up to a cable that you can plug in either your phone. How many hours did they say you could charge?
It depends on the batteries. The guy had mentioned in the video that they had. I don't know if it was specifically a battery from Dark Energy or one of them companies. They had a 12,000 milliamp battery. that was fitting in this pocket, because now you can get a 12,000 milliamp battery. That's the size of our cell phones.
Now,
if you
have a standard S8. Explain milliamp, because if everyone's like me, who's not tech savvy.
Sure. Basically, your average cell phone right now has a 4,000 milliamp battery in it. So that's like the kind of like the standard right now is 4,000, 4,500. So this, and you know, that's the new batteries are about the size of like an S8 or an S7 Samsung cell phone or one of the new iPhones. It's give or take about the same size. Except now with the battery being that entire size, now you're talking 12,000, 15,000 milliamps. So you can pretty much sit in a tree stand all day long and fit a battery pack in your pocket that will charge your phone 3 full times, plus charge an LED flashlight more than once if you have to, you know, if you hit an animal and you have to blood trail them, whichever. Which is just a cool feature. I mean, but it literally has a pocket for you to slide the battery into and a USB cord built into the jacket.
Yeah, which is really cool.
And there's a USB cord on the socket on the outside of the jacket for you to plug your phone into.
Yeah, which is, cool. It's a nice little feature that people really don't think of. But especially with technology, what's going on today. I mean, heck, even if your other flashlight breaks, I mean, cell phones have a flashlight on it.
Right.
So that it's nice to have those small things like GPS on your phone.
Right. Well, that's also where it'll come in handy, because half the time you have guys either playing games on their phone, or throughout the day you might be on the move or whatever you're trying to do, and you're trying to run, you know, OnX Maps or HuntWise or any of them other damn apps. So you really don't have to worry about it dying.
Yeah.
So, which is nice. Good.
Because if you get lost or turned around the wrong way.
Yeah. It's really a good idea that they should really incorporate into a lot of other hunting vests, or
I think they're going
maybe
to start
like binocular cases, especially that new Badlands case that we saw, that it had like several pockets. Like there's a pocket on the top so you could slide your binoculars straight in.
Oh, yeah, it's and the Hunter like, fanny pack?
Kind of, I guess.
No.
But
it's okay. You can admit it. All you people out there that have one, it's all right. It's the same thing. It clicks around your body, it sits in front of you, and it holds stuff.
Yeah, but fanny packs sit down by crotch waist level.
If you loosen the straps up a little bit.
Well, whichever.
And some people do the new fashion of wearing the fanny pack diagonal across the shoulders.
That's a new fad? That was in the 80s when I was a kid.
Well, it's coming back.
It's coming back. Oh, great, wonderful, the 80s. Yeah. And next thing we know, we're going to see some people with the flock of seagulls fucking haircuts again.
Mm-hmm.
Yay.
Oh, before we steer away from the vest.
Okay.
It also, what I wanted to mention is, I guess he mentioned this technology is newer, I want to say, with the, you know, I can't for the life of me think of the exact wording. It's like a scent killer.
The fabric.
So I guess the fabric has a built-in scent killer. I don't remember the exact word for the material, but it's supposed to kill all of the bacteria that hits the vest.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's for the lifetime of the vest, which I don't know how that works, but I mean, my IQ is not on that level to figure that technology out to making it. But I guess
we need
to
work that shit into some clothes. There's some people with some funky ass BO that the fabric will kill the body odor.
Yeah, because he says that no matter how many times you wash it, for the life of the vest, the material will always have that bacteria killing thing. He said you didn't even have to not wash, like you just wash it normal.
You
throw it in the washing machine.
Throw it in the wash, but they recommend you don't put it in the dryer. They recommend that you hang dry it.
Yeah, because he said on top of your wife killing you for throwing all those buckles in a dryer.
Yeah, the buckles are going to be super hot, melting through people's t-shirts and whatnot.
Yeah, but which I thought it was a pretty cool thing. I think it's been around, but he mentioned something new about the technology. I would honestly go to, instead of just going to the website, it's easier just going to, if you look on YouTube, go to bowhunting.com's videos, and you look up the Hunter safety system, and the interview with this guy was
he was funny.
He was an old school southerner.
He was funny. He actually made the interview with them quite humorous.
Yeah So I would definitely check them out. Definitely.
Yes, absolutely. All right, let's see some other things that were there. Rage released a new broadhead called the Extreme. Yes, there's no E.
X.
Yeah, it's the Extreme. Basically, it kind of looks like a Gravedigger broadhead. It's a cut-on contact broadhead with, I believe it is a 2.2 inch or 2.3 inch expandable behind it. So it's going to be a lot, you know, probably become a big favorite of a lot of people because a lot of people are moving towards the cut-on contact with mechanical. It's kind of like a hybrid broadhead. Now, the reason I say that is because, like, the big thing right now is the Gravedigger broadhead, which is basically the same thing, but it's been out for like a year and a half or so now.
You know, just as a side note, every time I think of Gravedigger,
I think of the monster truck.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's the most famous thing called Gravedigger.
I can't get away from the, when someone says Gravedigger, I think of
the monster truck.
Monster truck. I just can't help it.
let's see what else. Some other interesting items. TrueGlow is releasing a new hybrid carbon stabilizer. It's full carbon, and apparently it's got a new, more shock-absorbing stabilizer component in the front of it. Stokerized released their SS1 stabilizer. It's another one of those versions of the stabilizers that are slidable. So instead of it screwing directly into the front of your boat, it's offset to one side. So let's say, you know, we're right-handed.
Okay.
So our sights are on the right side of our bows. This stabilizer would stick out 2 inches to the left of the bow to counterweight the stabilizer, counterweight the sight's weight. Because of how heavy the sights pull the bow to the right, this stabilizer sticks out 2 inches to the left to kind of counteract that and pull the bow back toward the left. But it's also a 15-inch slidable that comes with 6 ounces of weight, so you can literally loosen a bolt, say, no, I need it to be a little bit farther out forward, or their weights are stackable, so it comes with 3 ounces on the front, 3 ounces on the rear.
Don't you mean it goes to the right? So if you're holding it and you're looking down...
No, it goes on the left. We hold our bows with our left hand.
Correct.
So our sights are on the right side of the frame housing of the bow.
Hmm. Might want to look at a bow.
I know how a bow works. I put them together.
Okay. Okay. I'm just saying. I think I'm going to pull up a picture. Because I think you're
okay, swapping. Whichever. It doesn't matter because this thing works right-handed or left-handed. It sticks out on the opposing side of your sight.
Okay. Damn it, don't question me.
Yeah, really. And basically, it's meant to counterweight the weight of your sight. Plus, also give you stabilization. You could stack the weights and this and that. Look, yes, it is on the right side. The frame is on the right side of my bow. She's looking at a picture that she took of my inertia at the range.
Oh, you know what? Silly
make excuses, you blonde.
I'm not making excuses. I'm telling you my train of thought. Mm-hmm. The actual sight you're looking through
is the dead is center on the bow.
No, technically, it's more toward the left from what you're holding. From where you're holding.
Is it more towards the left? I'm holding the bow with my left hand. And the sight is still to the right of my left hand.
Okay, in my head, I think it's more left because I'm looking.
You can just see the smoke coming out right now. My house is going to burn down.
Oh, yeah, that's right. It mounts on the right. Mounts.
Yes, it does. It mounts. What I said, it counterweights the mounting because that's where most of the weight is. The sight housing itself is not that heavy.
The wording of words is inconsequential.
Oh, the wording of words is inconsequential? Oh, my God. Okay, so anyway, it sticks out 2 inches to the left, and you can pick how far forward or how far back if you feel like you need more weight towards the back, more weight towards the front, and it's got 6 ounces of weight, so you can stack front and rear and do whichever way you want. So pretty much you can customize it to yourself, which is good. Let's see, who else is on here? Last Chance Archery. I'm not sure if this is new, but I've never seen it before. I've always seen when you go to a bow shop and they have the scale that's mounted to a beam or something like that, and they pull your bow down and say, yes, it's 70.6 pounds, and
right,
your holding weight's going to be like 18, you know, for someone with a 75% let off. They actually have one now that you hook to the D-loop that you pull by hand, and it automatically stores max and then holding weight.
Oh, yeah, that's where it's like that that luggage weight thing.
Yes, it looks like a luggage weight, exactly.
Yeah, where you hook the luggage strap on and you hold it up to see if it's
exactly overweight. So it kind of looks like that, but it does a dual store for you. So it shows, okay, peak weight was like my bow will be 72, and then mm-hmm. holding weight's going to show like 18 point something.
Well, yeah, because you're not, it's not going to be the same.
Right, right. Well, it'll come in handy for the people that are going to do like, you know, like Dudley's Silverback or the mm-hmm. Carter Evolution, because you need to know your holding weight and then you set the trigger just past the mm-hmm. holding weight.
Yeah.
Those, yes.
I'm still kind of timid of those.
Yes, I know.
They still make me nervous.
Well, you're timid of hinges also, but that's mm-hmm. okay. You do fine with a thumb button.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see, who else is on here? Keys Hunting Gear. They actually released a backpack. I couldn't find a price on it. I just ran out of time when it comes to looking up stuff.
Is it ergonomic like Yeti?
No, this is actually ergonomic. but this pack actually holds your bow, holds your arrows with the quiver, and actually has a small cooler inside of it to hold a couple of drinks for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it's a cool idea because it's like an all-in-one kind of pack, even though, you know, there's a lot of packs on the market that I'm sure you can buy, you know, a Yeti thermos or something like that to keep your drink cold. But this pack is meant to be a day pack where you're going to put in like 3 bottles of water and it's got a built-in cooler or something like that, which I mean, it is good for the average person.
For the average person, if you want to look at some of the stuff just for the day, just, and you're looking at just drinks and basics and stuff right. like that, go to Walmart and their Ozarks. Honestly, we've bought stuff from there and they work equally as good.
Well, there's actually videos on YouTube where someone did the whole cup of ice test between a Yeti, one of the big Yeti cups, I think it's called a tumbler.
Yeah,
versus the Ozark one that's identical in size.
Right.
And there was no difference in the melted ice. So, you know, it's the whole loyalty. I'm not knocking them, you know. I mean,
no, you know what it might get down to?
It may have been the state of the art, and we all know the Walmart companies copy everything that everyone else the fuck does.
I think when it comes down to your basics, when you're looking for something for the day,
mm-hmm.
Maybe even just one day or two, I think they go on a plane of equally, they'll workable.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And then absolutely. It'll go down to your budget. I think where the Yetis and some of the other companies that make some of the higher priced items, I think when it comes down to difference, might be on your longer trips. So the guys that are going for, you know, a couple days, a week, and they need to make sure that whatever they have in there stays. Well,
the one thing I will say though, when it like comes to the cups wise, I haven't seen much of a difference. When it comes to their coolers, I don't really think anyone can compare to a Yeti cooler.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, is that some of their bigger priced items that are meant to house items for a longer period of time to keep them cooler.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
That's where you're going to get the difference. But some of the other stuff, like the tumblers and the smaller items, you know what?
Yeah.
Or if you're going out for the day, not even for the whole day, for like part of like from sun up to sundown, I mean.
Right. Mm-hmm.
I don't really think that you need to spend all that extra money. I think if you're on a budget, and you need to kind of watch, you know, where you're spending what on and you know, budget stuff out, then the stuff the Ozark stuff works.
It works just as good, yes.
Yeah, honestly.
All right, let's see. Another product that caught my eye, because I'm the one that switches a lot of our peep sites out as we go through everything we buy,
mm-hmm.
was one from Sawtooth Outdoors. They created this peep site called the Peep It, which is basically a servingless peep sight. The string actually wraps through the peep sight, so you have to tie nothing in.
What was the name of it?
The Peep It.
You know a song pops into my head?
No.
Whip It.
Oh, God. I'm gonna peep it good? Oh, Jesus Christ. Now it just sounds perverted. Peep it good.
Oh, like see, that. I wasn't going down well, that way.
also, another good product that we saw on there, which actually caught me and Stephanie's attention because we're not much for the full mount where everyone gets, you know, the whole horns and the skin and everything on the deer. Me and Stephanie like Euros, so straight skulls mounted to the walls.
Yeah, you have to explain what item you're moving to because you just kind of squirreled into that.
How did I squirrel into that? We don't like full mounts.
No, you went from peeps to...
Oh, that's why I said the next product.
Yeah, but it just...
Whichever.
Transition. Anyway. It's all about transition.
Yeah, well, I'm not very good at transitioning. So, anyway, it's called the Skull Hooker. And basically, it's a nice wall mount. And You can put your skulls on it. You could have them where they're laying flat against the wall, where they're sticking out. And basically, from the way it looks like it was designed, it actually uses the hole that the spinal cord would go into the brain. And the skull actually gets to free float, which is, I mean, is a really cool one. I'm sure like some of the bigger models where you're going to try and hold a elk skull or something like that, I'm sure there's something, one of the bigger skulls. Where the skull is quite heavy, I'm sure they have more upgrades for more support and whatnot. For the guys that are going to try and, you know, do their own string, there was also Baker Archery Products was at the ATA.
Wait, is that the guy that did the video of making their own strings?
Yes.
You should go into that one some more. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, and thanks for interrupting. Anyway. They showed their detail of their four-post system plus their string stretcher. It was a really nice setup. They showed a very good display. The guy actually gives you a chart that goes along with like how long your strings are going to be, where you can, like a lot of times when, if anyone's seen someone make strings, you have, like, there's four posts that stick up, and then they turn, so this way you can get your full length in one shot and then loop that way. They actually created a system and a chart for you that you can leave the entire string squared and just measure from end to end, and it will automatically get you the right size string. Plus, also, there are string stretchers involved, which this way, it's a much cleaner made system than you'd see a lot of the homemade versions. There are a lot of homemade versions that you can look up online, on especially on YouTube, where people go into detail on how they made their homemade system and what they use and everything like that. One of the guys, I think, is Sean's Outdoors, I believe it is, that's on YouTube. He made a homemade string system.
Is that the one that I saw?
Yeah, where look at the guy was in his basement.
Okay, he was doing he did it like 12 times.
Yes, at 12 loops, whichever, and okay. Because he was using BCYX string and stuff like that. His is really good. I mean, it's really, the way he did it is very cost-effective way, because you can go and try and buy one of these string jig sets, and the jig set alone could cost you $500, never mind the string stretcher on top of that.
How much is a string stretcher?
Yeah, it can be about the same amount. It can be about $500 because it twists it for you and stretches it. Mm. So it depends on how you want to go. I mean, you could to make your own string, depending on how often you change your strings a year. Mm. You know, there's some people that change their strings multiple times a year because, I mean, the material is really not expensive. You can get a 500-foot roll of this stuff for like $50.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It's not crazy expensive, but the machine, the stretcher and the jig can cost you $1,000.
Mm.
But like, if me and you ever, I mean, if any of this ever really goes anywhere besides just us having fun doing this, and we end up getting like multiple bows to test out, especially once we start doing videos and whatnot, because I still want to buy a chronograph for ourselves and stuff like that.
Yeah. Well, we need to get to a house first, and then we'll have space to do all this stuff.
You know, then it might come in handy to actually have them. I'm intrigued by just watching Sean's Outdoors about making my own string.
Yeah, it's interesting.
Yeah, it's very interesting. Like yours, we're still doing the vapor trails for yours. Come here probably in the next week or so, we're going to be ordering it.
Yeah.
So, but, you know, but Baker does. Baker makes a fantastic jig and string stretcher. I mean, look super, super professional quality and everything like that. They featured them on one of the videos, and that video is probably one of the longest ones. It was like 7 to 8 minutes. All the other videos were like 3 and 4 minutes, so they were short. But as for products, really, that was pretty much all that caught my eye, except for, you know, like Arrow Rest-wise, the only thing that really caught my attention Arrow Rest-wise was the that VX from Schaefer.
I'm trying to think.
We spoke about it on the last one with the Schaefer site, the opposition.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. That's probably the only real Arrow Rest that caught my sight.
Caught your sight?
Yes, caught my sight, yes. Caught my interest. Other than that, I mean, they did have ones from Ripcord. Like, Ripcord released, like, a new Ripcord Max or something like that. QAD had a whole section. Yeah, it's just, it's pretty much they're all, like, that style Arrow Rest to me is all the same thing.
It's just improving on their current.
Yeah, QAD's new one has like complete micro tuning ability. Fine, that's awesome. I'm not going to complain about micro tuning. That's if, to have micro tuning in arrow rest where you can do slight little clicks and move it, that's great.
It's wonderful. Micro tuning is wonderful.
Yes. You know, you don't got to worry about like, oh, shit, I tapped it too hard, or where did I start, or whatever, you know. You just like, oh, I need to move a little right, and two clicks clockwise, and, you know, you're moved over. Now, let's see. Bows that kind of especially caught my attention. There's like, let's see, I got five on the list here that caught my attention. One was the PSE Expedite, just because we shoot PSEs.
Mm-hmm.
And the bow is, it comes with two different modules that you can choose which one you want. One's a high let-off module, one's a low let-off module. High let-off does 80 to 90%, low let-off does 65 to 75%. And depending on which module you shoot, just because the string is preloaded more, this thing will do 360 feet per second on the low let-off module and 352 feet per second on the high let-off module. So it's a blazing fast bow that, you know, you can have a bow that does 352 feet per second IBO at a 90% let off, which, you know, is pretty impressive. Next one that really, which is, sadly enough, I mean, since we went to the Northeast Outdoors Sportsman Show last year.
Yeah, it was about last year.
When I shot the Obsession bows, I was like, wow, these are really nice. They shoot really well.
They were at the ATA too.
They were at the, yeah, but there was no real featured videos about them.
No.
They did come up in the top five bows from Archery Talk, which is, you know, I wish there was more stuff about them. I did find that there's a couple videos from Bow Hunter Planet about the...
Aren't they, they're still considered a brand new company.
They're, yeah, they're pretty new. They're only out a couple of years.
Yeah.
But they released their Fixation, which is available in a 6-inch brace height, 7-inch brace height, two different sets of cams for each. And their 7-inch brace height bow is doing the speed of my Inertia. So it's a 348 at a 7-inch brace height. Most bows are not breaking 340 until a 6-inch brace height. So it's pretty quick. Bowtech released their Realm, also another really good bow, pretty good speed and everything like that. I really don't have much to say. I've never shot a Bowtech before.
I thought you shot one at the Sportsman Show.
No, that was the Rain, and that's the line that was ridiculously long.
Oh. Okay.
And I didn't get to shoot the Rain, which the Realm is the new version, the new upgraded version of the Rain.
Mm-hmm.
Also, Hoyt released their RX1 editions, which are their carbon bows, like, you know, high-end. These are $1,500, $1,600 bows.
Mm-hmm.
I think that the IBO on them is 340. Not bad. Very, very nice-looking bows. And the Hoyt, I did shoot the Pro Defiant at that,
yes, at you that did.
Sportsman Show, yes. Which I really, really liked. I think they have probably, them and the Obsessions, beside PSE, probably have the best grips on the market.
I thought you liked the Matthews.
The Matthews was nice. It was just heavy to me.
Oh,
but okay. Now that I'm... I guess it's just from my, you know, being used to shooting a bow that was lighter. I you know, I wasn't used to it, but now since I've, you know, added a bunch of weight, yeah, I know, I saw that.
Sorry, I had to, because you made that comment.
You're tracking me.
I just saw a picture posted up that a car got into an accident, but it was in front of a Target site. How Target has like that bullseye site, and
Shit! You know, I didn't even get the reference to that. I was thinking about the car's like suspension and shit, just from it being a gearhead.
No, it says this guy needs to adjust his sight because the car landed low and to the left of the Target sign. The site.
Yes, the Target reference. Yeah, I didn't even get that. Wow, I'm a dumbass. All right. And the last one is the Bear Kuma, because I do like my Bear Crux. It is a good bow. Did have a lot of vibration when we first got it, but once I put the jacks and everything on it and some suppression, I mean, it really was shooting like a very good bow. Their Kuma is like their top-end bow right now. It's, you know, another one, 340-plus speed rating and whatnot. But if anyone's interested and you want to see what a lot of these bows are doing, the Tri-X was also at the ATA show. To me, I know everyone's praising the Tri-X. From Matthews and everything like that.
Well, I think it's because Levi Morgan was...
Well, no, like everyone was saying like fantastic things about it. Like it's a short frame bow. It's only 28 inches axle to axle. So it's shorter than my Bear.
Right.
But it has these massive ass cams on it that makes it into like a 33. Mm-hmm. Because of how far they roll out.
Right.
So, I mean, it's supposed to, it's a really fast bow, and it's supposed to be insanely accurate. And it does. It's got some speed on it.
Oh, speaking of which, mm-hmm. here's the picture of the, I just happened to come across the picture
Look at the size of the cams on the Triax. They're gigantic.
They're a cross-centric cam system.
Mm-hmm. But also, like I was saying, if you want to see like a speed test of a lot of these bows that are actually on here, I know the PSE Carbon Stealth is on there, which has the pretty close to the same setup as the Expedite. The Hoyt RX-1 is on there, and the Matthews Triax is on there, and there's another bow, which I forgot which one it was. But Alpha Bow Hunting has a video on YouTube of the speed tests, and the PSE Carbon Stealth absolutely walked away from everybody.
Yeah.
You know, and it wasn't by a little bit. Like, 510 grain arrows, the RX-1 was doing like 266 feet a second, and the PSE was doing like 288 or something like 286.
Mm-hmm.
So, almost 20 feet per second is, you know, you know, I like to tune our bows, especially mine, at somewhere around a 280 mark, which is nice. But for a bow like that to be slinging heavy arrows like that, and it has the same exact IBO as the Hoyt, they're both 340s, but it's 20 feet per second faster, which is good.
You know, and PSC, like, rolls in there with a whole...
Yeah, I put that photo on our IG. PSC talk about making an entrance. They didn't just put up a booth. They bring the whole Mack truck with trailer inside the building.
Yeah.
And set up like podiums of bows.
Yeah. But they didn't do a lot of interviews with anyone either.
Quite a few of them, but they're all like 5, 8, 10 minutes long because they're talking about multiple bows.
Mm.
Bowhunter.com, one of the interviews I did with them, it was pretty much all Carbon Stealth and Expedite.
That's the only one I saw.
Yeah. Then there was a couple of other ones, but it's pretty much they concentrated on those two bows because everybody's like, oh, the Carbon bow is fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
And now them having the Stealth and them upping the speed on the Stealth, you know, with the new system and the Evolve. And
what was the let off on that? Wasn't it some insane
90%?
Yeah.
90% let off on them.
That's disgusting.
That's what I mean. Even the Expedite. The Expedite's 90% let off. And so is the... Well, majority of PSEs right now are all... It's got the Evolve... Yeah, if it's got the Evolve cams on it, it's got a 90% setup. So, you know, whereas a lot of the other bows right now, there is a couple more that right now, they're like in the high 80s. I think there's one other company right now that can do 90. I don't remember which one. Which, I mean, is nice. I mean, you get a 90% let off on a 70-pound bow, you can hold 7 pounds all day long.
Yeah.
You know, it's like I seen the one video on YouTube, and I thought it was funny because this guy's got a fully dressed bow, HHA optimizer. Oh, little girl's coughing in her sleep. You know, he's got an HHA optimizer sight. He had his arrow rest on the bow. He had his, you know, front stabilizer that looked like it had about 5 ounces worth of weight on it.
Mm-hmm.
The guy pulled, it was a 60-pound bow. It was a 60-pound Evolve. The guy pulls the bow down, and then the bow tech lets the bow go. And the bow stood there by itself. It was the craziest shit. I'm like, oh, he's going to try and blow it up. No, he just sat there. The bow was heavy enough to hold itself open. Which I was like, oh, damn. You know?
Mm-mm.
All right. So that's pretty much all the products I have. Do you think of any other ones that we may have missed?
Oh, those, not nocturnals, but the other light up knocks. The ones that,
Wow, broad statement.
Yeah, I know. Luminox. Okay. Is that ringing a bell?
No.
The one where they actually have to custom fit the tip of it to your arrow.
Oh, yeah. There was one that was like that, yes.
Yeah. Do you remember that
No,
one?
No, I don't remember the name of it. I remember seeing the video and going, no, we use nocturnals.
No, it's something that they're listed as the brightest knocks that are out on the market now.
Oh, please. Whole statement that everyone does.
I know. We're the brightest.
We're two times.
Yeah.
Two times, everyone.
So I guess with these, it's, I think you'll remember this because we were watching the video and they're going through how they're made and it's not just, one of the lighted knocks, how you just kind of fit it into the end of your arrow.
Yeah.
I guess these, they actually make a separate fit. You have to tell them what arrows you have.
Mm-hmm.
And then they have to send you another piece that gets fitted on the end of your arrow.
Oh, yes, and yes, I remember. Yes.
Those knocks actually get specialty fitted into your... Did they screw in, or are they...
No, like, it's basically an outsert on the back of your arrow.
Yeah, but I remember you made the comment that it's just adding extra weight.
Yeah, yeah. Most people don't want the rear to be heavier. You want to concentrate on your FOC, your front of center weight.
Right.
So, I mean, for them to have to add an outsert onto the back of the arrow, plus you adding the weight of the actual light-up knock and everything on the arrow, then... That could also lead to you having to add extra point weight. Now you're talking about possibly having to do a 50, maybe a 75 grain insert on the front, plus your 100 grain tip to get the FOC back to like somewhere around like 17-18% is what everyone recommends.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it almost kind of defeats the purpose. It's like if you put, in my opinion, I'm not saying it's true. I'm not sure. The guy really didn't specify how much anything weighed. It just seems to me that if you add all this weight on the back instead of just like, you know, your standard nocturnal or regular Luminoc or whatever, you're going to have to do more work to the front of the bow. It's like, I don't know. To me, it just seems like if I do this, I'm going to have to change my front points alone from a 100 grain front tip to 125 to constant to, you know, to get it to go back to the 18% forward.
All right.
So I'm not sure. I mean, it looked like a really cool idea.
Yeah, it does. Maybe we'll have to look into what the pricing is on all that and see if we could try it out just to see how that works out.
Right. Absolutely.
So, but as far as products go, I mean, there was a lot of other stuff there, but it's really, they did a lot of blinds and everything and tree stands.
There was one blind from Primo's. I think it was called Primo's Hunting.
I don't remember who.
It was like a 360 view blind. Like outside, it looked like it was camouflage, and when you got inside, you could see everything 360 degrees around.
Oh, yeah.
You.
It was kind of like a one way glass kind of.
Yeah,
effect.
Yeah. That, which, I mean, that was like, if you're going to sit in a blind, that thing is cool as hell.
Yeah. You can see what's walking up behind you.
Mm-hmm. And it also comes, I guess the way they set it, depending on how bright it is outside, like you can still see the person's shadow, and you obviously don't want the animal to see your shadow.
Right.
But you can actually turn the curtain inside that's a blacked out curtain that's behind you so it won't cast your shadow anymore. So it's it's depending on which direction you're looking, you can, you know, move it with you.
Yeah, so it kind of really cool. Camouflages you a little bit more.
Right, exactly. Because you don't want them to see your shadow because then they're like, oh shit, there it is.
What was, oh damn. And I just, while you were talking about that, I thought of something else that I wanted to mention. But the thing is, I don't remember who makes it. Okay. They were going through the featured product section, and there was that huge lockbox. And the top section, you could fit, it looked like either one or two bows, and then
below it. Oh, yes, damn it. I know what you're talking about. Yes, 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 yes.
I know, I just happened to think about it right now. And the thing is,
quite expensive. It was like $1,000 lockbox.
It was a really expensive box, but it looks like it you put it on the back of your truck. It looks like that's the length that would fit, like on the back of your truck, like where usually like a toolbox would go. And you open it, and in the top of the, like where the lid is, it has another whatchamacallit. Like in another compartment.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I'm thinking of the actual, it's not another lid. It's like a door to the other compartment, whatever it is. And you can put, it looked like you could put two bows. Not sure, because when you're looking at it through a video, it's kind of hard. The depth is a little deceiving sometimes.
Oh, yeah.
But you could fix at least, you know, your one bow on the top. And that locks in by itself. It has, you know, the extra padding. And underneath was another full compartment with movable dividers. So you can either have no dividers, or you could set them up in a way that whatever you need to fit in specific compartments. The thing was really cool, and it's supposed to be like extremely, extremely durable.
Durable, yeah.
But the problem is that when they were looking at it, I guess they said it weighed.
Yeah, it had some weight to it, yeah.
On it was extremely heavy, and...
The Bronc Box.
The Bronc Box,
that's what it's called.
And extremely pricey.
It was about $1,000.
Yeah, that's extremely. But
I mean, it was full. That's the one thing I remember about it. It was fully compartmentalized, so yes. You could move the panels and the panel sections inside the actual case.
Yeah.
So I mean, you could split it into three sections in the. I touched on the damn thing one more time. You can basically make everything the size that you wanted it to be inside of it.
Yeah, that's what I just said.
Yeah, like dividers and everything like that. So, I mean, it was really cool.
Oh, I didn't know if you had it up still. I didn't know if it said that it could keep two bows in the top compartment or just the one.
No, it actually doesn't say it.
Because that's a little, it's tricky when you're looking at a picture or a video.
It does look like, it. And even in the video when they opened it, it looks like it's two. Like one bow will strap to the lid and one bow will strap on the...
I know, but it depends on when it closes, how it fits.
Yeah, that's what
I don't know. It's tricky to figure that out when you're looking at a video because the depth can be thrown off from their camera angle. I mean,
it may just have padding that's so damn thick that once you put your bow in on the top compartment and you close the lid, it just smushes your bow into
there. And that's what I'm thinking. But paying that much for that kind of a box, I would like the ability to be able to put two bows back there.
Yeah, but I mean... You got to think about it, too. People are buying them type of cases for the long haul use-wise. Mm-hmm. And, like, if we had the type of money where we can go out and buy two, like just because I mentioned it before, the Stealths or Hoyt RX-1 Ultras or something like that,
mm-hmm.
$1,500 bow, and then by the time you're done with your sights and your stabilizers mm-hmm. and all the blah, blah, blah shit, you're talking $2,300. You might want to just spend $1,000, and you know that nothing's going to happen to your bow.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's not a bow you're going to use. I mean, a bow. It's not a box you're going to use for one season. It'll probably outlast five or six of your bows easily.
If I paid $1,000 for just one season.
You'd be kind of pissed.
Yeah, I would be a little bit pissed.
That's why, I know there's people that buy the new bow every year. I don't know. Sometimes I don't see the point.
Well, good for them.
Yeah. No. I'm just saying it.
The average person does not.
I slapped my bow from when I was 14.
Yeah. That was, oh my God, that was ages ago.
Mm-hmm.
Like the invention of.
Turned 40, so yes, that bow is 26 years old. My grandfather bought me it because I wanted to join the archery club in high school.
Not the chess club.
No, the archery club. No. I look like a nerd in high school. I will freely admit it, but no, it was the archery club.
When they invented compound bows.
No, compounds were out for about probably at least over a decade. Yeah, at least over. I think compounds were out like since the 60s or the 70s. So
you're in the 70s.
I was born in the late 70s. I think they were around the time I was born, if not earlier.
I've got to look that up for our next one. I'm going to look up when the compound.
How
bow...
old as shit can I make my husband feel? Yeah.
Yeah.
Thanks, babe.
That's my specialty.
Yes, that's fine. All right, so.
No, we're not going over our stuff from the range because we don't have the time.
Okay.
And that's going to be in our next episode.
You want to leave the update for Dougie on next one too?
Yes. We don't have the time for it.
Okay. Yeah, we're
on a time restraint today.
In the gap of when my son is at school. Or our son. Is that school?
Yeah, it's both of ours. Yes, I was there too.
Yes. You did all the work. I didn't do much. So, all right, folks. Well, this is the end of the Stuff That Caught Our Eye of the ATA show from the videos. Good thing is next year we'll be going to the one in Kentucky. We should have our license and everything here done within the next 2-3 months.
And actually, there's some, just to note, there's, I think what you said, February, March is... A couple sportsman shows.
Yeah, there's one in March here in South Carolina. That's going to be in Columbia. I think it's called the Palmetto Sportsman Classic or something like that.
Okay.
We're going to go to that one. There's one in.
Wasn't there one in
North
February?
Carolina? No, I think it was April. I think one was March, one was April, one was July, and it's all between where we are here in the Greenville area plus. One's right outside of Charlotte, and then one is getting closer, right, pretty much like 45 minutes into Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to be going to a couple of the local shows here. Both of our kids love car rides, which is good.
Mm-hmm. Or, we can drop them off with grandma. Just saying.
4 hours from here.
But they would like it.
Oh, yes.
We'll see.
There's something in their retirement community in Myrtle. Oh, we're going to go to a fishing show suddenly. No.
Oh, stop it.
Even though I want to learn how to fish. I'm horrible at it. So, all right. We're good?
Yeah.
All right, folks. Get out. Go have some fun. Go shoot. Try to convince a person who's never shot to go shoot. Trust me, sometimes it'll make a difference.
Yay.
Bye-bye.